It became a part of American history, the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. Joining us live this morning, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who took part in the original march 50 years ago today. Reverend Jackson, a lot has been said about where we have come over the last 50 years. How do you assess the progress that's been made and what's yet to be done?
Well, I was blessed to have been here 50 years ago, fresh out of jail in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was a cloud of fear and intimidation and really barbarism. D.C. was virtually under lockdown. Police had to work 18 hours, working overtime. Judges were on permanent call. Doctors were on call. Many D.C. residents were afraid to come to the march. From Texas across to Florida up to Maryland, we couldn't use a single public toilet. Black soldiers sat behind Nazi prisoners of war on American military bases. It was racial anarchy. So we're freed of that. But the dream was not just a dream that was static. The dream in 63 was to overcome the barbarism. We were arrested trying to use public libraries. But guess what? 64, the dream was legislation to offset that, thanks to Lyndon Baines Johnson. The dream in 65 was the right to vote. Blacks could not vote in the Deep South. White women could not serve on juries. No woman on the Supreme Court. 18-year-olds could not vote, though serving in the war. You could not vote on campuses. You could not vote bilingually. So we've come a long way. I think today is really, we thank God for the struggle from 54 to 63 that set the stage for that speech. But now President Johnson must be given substantial credit because his was the response to the speech. Dr. King's speech went to the White House and Congress. In light of these things, we need legislation and we need appropriation. And Lyndon Johnson, at the speech at Howard University in May of 1965, responded with a tremendous speech of legislation and appropriation and enforcement of law, not just motivation. LBJ is due real special credit.
You know, I remember being witness to your Keep Hope Alive speech in Atlanta. It was a remarkable speech. And while you were speaking, I thought of the influence of Dr. King perhaps on you and many others who had become great orators as well. What was it like being around him, someone who could command a crowd perhaps like no one else?
Well, at close up, he was tremendously intellectual. You know, Dr. King, at age 14, did an essay on the Negro and the Constitution. At 15, he finished high school. At 19, he finished Morehouse College. At 22, he finished seminary, at PhD at 26, an intellectual. But he carried himself in such a way you were always at ease in his presence. I think he was as courageous as he was intellectual, enjoyed engaging in nonviolent confrontation to break the shackles loose with a broad view of America and the world. Remember that speech? The dream was the climax. He talked about 100 years later, broken promise. It really was the theme of that. Broken promise. We've come here, Lincoln, you promised, with your majestic shadows we stand. Congress, you promised. The promise has been, I dream of a day when it will be honored. And that broken promise is still broken today. You think about it, in 31 cities today, black joblessness is above 40%. 6 is above 50%. 2.5 million Americans in prison. 55% are African American.
How did that happen?
Race profiling.
How did that happen?
Well, there was a lot of unsolved stuff. But for example, the war on poverty got diverted to the war in Vietnam. Dr. King died really brokenhearted. His point was his dream was becoming a nightmare. He had the high hopes of the ecstasy moment here in Washington in 63. But by 68, he felt that the momentum had been undermined by our passion for war in Vietnam and in the resurgence of poverty. In the last few years, particularly it seems after President Obama won, Dr. President Obama would be the crown jewel of the success of that movement. By far, he would be that today. But the meanness and hostility toward President Obama is I think only Lincoln has endured as much vitriol as President Obama has in terms of just being flat on attack for his attempt to do good works.
Do you have any specific hopes or expectations from today's activities from either the President or Congress or anyone else?
Well, what President Obama has done, you know, he came and we were in a minus 4 million jobs. He's put a plus in the job category. He take us out of the war in Iraq. He bailed out the auto industry. It's now number one again. More Americans are covered, so one has to put a plus sign by his name. But I think today what we need is the Johnson speech, frankly. It is the dream. Dr. King was a dreamer and a prophet, but now we need the legislation and the appropriation to make the dream real.
It has been a pleasure having you with us on this historic occasion.
I just hope that our commitment now to a war on poverty, the constitutional right to vote, student loan debt forgiveness, something of that level of substance will bring relief to a lot of people right now who feel great anxiety and pressure in this economy.
Jesse Jackson, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Reverend Jesse Jackson with us on WTOP this morning.